Good morning. Good morning. It is an honor for me and my wife to be here today to worship God with you. You are such a passionate people in terms of worshiping God, and it's an honor. Pastor Sean, thank you for this immense privilege that you've given me to be here and share God's word for every single one of us this day as we continue on our series. This is my wife and myself's first time in Malaysia. And so, Pastor Tim and Pastor Sean have been inviting us over the years, and we're grateful that finally we're able to be here. I want to take this time to share with you about my family, as maybe you've been accustomed to when you have Every Nation pastors come over. This is a picture of my family. So we have three kids. I don't have four kids. I only have three kids. Okay, the other one is my wife, okay? So that the one in the middle, the cutest one, is my wife, okay? She's here with me, okay? We've been married for almost 20 years. We got married when we were in grade school, okay? No, just kidding, okay? So we were married for 20 years, and God blessed us with three amazing kids. And I hope that next time we go here, we're going to be with our kids. And hopefully it's going to be longer so we can enjoy Malaysia more. I also want to take this time to honor our pastors. Pastor Sean earlier mentioned that I was part of our cohort in Wheaton College, and it was my privilege to study, learn, and get impartation from our various teachers there, you know, with Pastor Tim and Pastor Sean. We all miss Pastor Tim, and we know that he is now with the Lord. And Pastor Tim, when we would have classes, you know, I always love his questions. No matter how profound the subject is, no matter how complicated the classes are, you know, he would always ask this question that would leave our teachers, you know, really thinking. And he said, no matter what it is, he said, okay, I like this, I like this, I like that. But can I ask you, sir, Pastor Tim would say, how does this make me love Jesus more? And so, that's so good. And I hope, I know that this church loves Jesus because you have been pastored by pastors who love Jesus. And I pray that you would continue to love Jesus from now to the many more years that God will bless us here in Every Nation, Malaysia. I also want to honor Pastor Sean. See, Pastor Sean is a friend of mine as well. And Pastor Sean, how many of you agree life can be unfair? You know why? Because we're the same age, but I look 10 years older than this guy. He still looks young. Pastor Sean is very smart. He asks some of the most profound questions in our class, but at the same time, he's very humble. How many of you would agree he's a humble guy? He's a very humble guy. And Pastor Sean, you know, as much as he is impressive from a distance, believe me when I tell you, he is even more inspiring up close. And so you are blessed, together with Jill and together with our pastoral team here, you are blessed to have not just good teachers, but spiritual fathers in the faith. And so can we give God, you know, just appreciation, thank him for the spiritual leaders that he has given us here in Every Nation, Malaysia. All right. Well, today we are continuing our series called Dirty Laundry. And this is a book study of sorts of 1 Corinthians. And allow me to read our text today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to ask everyone to please stand up as we read the Word of God in reverence to God and His Word. In verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them in all, everyone, in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Let's jump to verse 12. Verse 12 says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make any less part of a body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, if the whole body were an ear, where would a sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. This is the word of God for us today. God, we are grateful for your word. Thank you that it has the power, not just to inform us, but it has the power to shape our hearts, to shape our minds, and to shape our lives. Lord, we pray that as we look at this word today, help us to apply this in our homes. Help us to apply this also as Every Nation Malaysia. God, I speak a blessing over this church. Thank you, Lord, for the season of refreshing. Thank you for the season, Lord God, of fruitfulness that you're bestowing. Thank you for the season of greater depth, Lord. But also thank you for the multiplication of leaders that you're bringing to them. Lord, we receive this all by name, by in your name, in Jesus Christ, amen and amen. All right, please have a seat. So your pastors gave powerful, you know, amazing backgrounds on 1 Corinthians. How many of you appreciate the past few weeks? I mean, I loved it. When I watched it, my kids and I watched the series. And, you know, we loved your pastors. We loved how they explained it. And so we've learned from them that Corinth is very similar to Malaysia in a way that they were also a melting pot of different cultures at that time, because they were in the gateway in all of Greece. So a lot of people from all nations would pass through there. And because of that, Corinth became a melting pot of cultures, ethnicities, traditions, and even beliefs. Now, talking about melting pots and a combination of cultures, your pastors did not only show that to me, they made me taste it. Okay, my wife and I, we were made to taste all of these fusions of different kinds of food, from kaya toast, from roti and curry, and from all of these Chinese food that they brought us. Last night, Pastor Neil brought us to not just one dinner, but three dinners. Okay, he wanted us to have a taste of Malaysia. He did not just bring us to Puchong. He brought us to KL as well, and all the restaurants, I think, that we were right there. He made us taste them. And this morning, we thought we won't eat again, okay, because we're so full from last night. But yet, Pastor Stephen brought us to this amazing dim sum place, and we could not say no to chicken feet. So how many of you like chicken feet? Yeah, so those who lifted up their hands, look at their faces. They look very young. Really, because that's the secret to youthfulness, okay? It's not the fountain of youth, it's a feet of youth. It's rich with collagen. And so I hope, and I'm grateful, Pastor Sean, thank you. Thank you to your pastors for bringing us and allowing us to have a taste of the fusion, the variety, the beauty of having all of these nations and all of these cultures come together. How many of you know diversity has a lot of benefits? Yeah, right? Diversity has a lot of benefits, but as we have seen in this series, it also has a lot of challenges. See, in Corinth, because they were very diverse, they have different moral standards, and some of those moral standards crept in the church. And so some of them became immoral. Some of them, because of the different backgrounds, skin color, practices, they experienced division. And now, we're going to talk about this other issue, relational issue that they encountered, which is individualism. Can you say individualism? Individualism, okay? So what is individualism, okay? Individualism, according to this dictionary, it says there that individualism is a political and social philosophy that emphasizes the moral worth of the individual. Pastor, you said it was an issue. How come this is not an issue? It actually is good, right? Would you agree? I mean, if you're emphasizing the moral worth, the intrinsic worth of a person, isn't that right? It is. So I dare say that it's not just a political philosophy, it's not just a social philosophy, it's also biblical. In fact, we see that in Scripture. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, what does that say? You and I, each one of us, we are all made in the image of God. So we are intrinsically valuable. Not only that, the God who is most valuable values us. The Bible says that, you know, He knows us by name. How many of you know everyone here in this room? Not everyone, right? Oh, probably only a few. But guess what? God knows each one of you by name. I'm not sure if you ever experienced going to a mall and then you encounter somebody, I think this person is from church. I think I see him in Every Nation, Malaysia. I think he also attends the 10 a.m. service, or the 11 a.m. service. But then you forgot the name, and so what you call them? Hey, huh? Leng Chai. Leng Chai, okay, so what does that mean?
Handsome man.
Ooh. Leng Chai. Leng Chai, okay. How many Leng Chais do we have here? You guys are humble. Okay. So, you see them in the Philippines, would go, bro, how are you, bro? Okay, if it's a girl, sis, how are you? Because you forgot that, I forgot the name. What do you remember the name? Okay, so, we say, bro, sis. I'm so grateful that God does not forget our names. He knows your name intimately. That He knows what's going through your life right now. He knows what's going through your family. He knows what's going through in your studies. He knows the challenges that you're having now in uni, at uni. Some of us were having challenges at home. Guess what? God knows each one of us by name. In fact, Jesus expanded it. Jesus said, God knows even the number of hair on our head. Whoa. I realize, though, that the older we get, especially among males, the easier it is for God to know us, right? Because we are losing. We are losing some of it. No pun intended, okay? I'm speaking to myself, okay? But God knows us. And because God knows us, it means individually He values us. Individually, we have worth. Individually, God desires to bless you. God desires to make you advance and grow. It is God has personal plans for you. That's a given. So what's the problem with individualism? Well, if you look at this word, individualism, you see that the problem is that it has too many eyes. The problem with individualism is the moment it becomes about you. It's about yourself. It's about what you have. It's about what you need. It's about what you feel. It's about what you think, more than what others feel, think, believe, and do. That's where the problem comes. In fact, because of that, there were a lot of relational issues that happened in that church. See, what were the problems that they had in that church, no? Pastor Sean, I think it was the one who shared it, or was it Pastor Sean? Pastor Jonathan. Pastor Jason, who shared that because of their preferences, some would say, I follow Apollos. I follow Paul. Oh, no, you guys are Apollos, Paul. I follow Jesus. Okay, so it's about personal preacher preference. Okay? Some would say in 1 Corinthians 14, I like revelation. Prophecy. I like singing. How many of you like singing? Can we just have a worship service with all singing? Okay? That's what they were saying. And then they would say, I like spiritual gifts. I like speaking in tongues and so on and so forth. And so it became a matter of their personal preference. And they forgot the goal of the services in the first place. Some were not only promoting their preference, but they're also looking down on the preferences of others. Ooh, You're from that country? Oh, you were once a slave, huh? Yeah, okay. You were a Greek? I'm a Jew. So we're like that. Unfortunately, this has crept in the church. And I'm praying that this virus has not crept in Every Nation Malaysia and all of our churches as well, and even the body of Christ, because it is dangerous. It is dangerous because it divides. It is dangerous because it's offensive. It's dangerous because it isolates. Can you say isolate? Isolate. And you know what? God does not want people to be isolated. But there's one being in the whole universe, in all of time, that wants people to be isolated. You know that? You know that person is? The enemy. The Bible says in John, we have an enemy whose primary job description is to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy the plans and purposes of God over your life. The Bible says in 1 Peter that he is like a roaring lion, you know, wanting, waiting for someone to be devoured. Have you seen prowling lions? If you've watched National Geographic or what else? Lion Kings, I guess. You would see a prowling lion, right? They would be like that. They would be stealthy. And they would wait for its next prey. And you know what the preys are, right? If it's a flock or a herd, they often go to the isolated, the weak, and also those that are left behind. In this world that we live in, not sure if you've heard of people who would say, you know, it is my personal walk with God that matters the most. As long as I'm reading my Bible, as long as I'm praying, as long as I'm watching Pastor Sean preach on Sunday on YouTube, I'm okay. I don't need to be in a gathering like this. Well, we're grateful for technology. We're grateful those of you who are watching us online. But our prayer is that you will not stay there. There is beauty in this fellowship. There is life in this fellowship. There is faith that's being stirred up in this fellowship, and we want you to be with us here because God wants you. You know what? God's plan for you, God's individual plan for us, God's individual destiny for us is tied up with the corporate destiny that we have as a church. So don't be isolated. Don't be alone. Don't distance yourself from people because God desires for us to walk this life together. Amen? Can you say to the person right next to you, we need each other. We need each other. God wants us to walk with one another. So, question. How do we combat? How do we cure this virus called individualism? Is it communal, or what's it called again, Sean? Community. Is it, sorry, let me just read it. Collectivism. Sorry, okay. I had a senior moment a bit. Maybe it's the dim sum and the chicken feet. It's kicking in. So is it collectivism that's the cure? Individualism is one end, collectivism is another. Is this the cure? Well, when we look at the church in Corinth, we know that it is not, because collectivism, just like individualism, can be infected with sin. And when sin creeps in and overwhelms collectivism, what happens is it becomes a clique. It becomes just about us. It's not no longer about you, but it's now about us, okay? As long as we do it together, okay? Never mind them. Never mind the other races. Never mind the other. It's about now, oh, we the music team. Oh, we the ushering team. Oh, no, we are the best, the tech team. No, it's about now these groups, and now you're looking down on others. So collectivism is not the solution. Is it having a balance of both? Friends, let me submit to you that the solution to this is not a balanced philosophy, but a biblical perspective. we need to be guided, not just by human philosophies, but we need to be guided by Scripture. We need to be guided by the Word of God. So, question, how do we combat this now according to the Bible? What does the Bible have to say about individualism, and how do we combat this? What are the pitfalls that we need to avoid, and how did Paul say, what did he say so that we can find a cure for this relational sickness? Briefly, number one, okay, focus on God's centrality. Focus on God being the center of our fellowship, of our communion, of our church. Jesus should be the center of it all, as the song would say. Paul said in verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God. You see, at that time, in order for you to emphasize something, you repeat it. They don't have those emojis at that time. They don't have those bold capital letters at that time. Their way of emphasizing is by repeating. And so in order for them to be realigned, Paul is saying, be aligned, be reminded. We have the same Spirit. We have the same Lord. We have the same God. That's a powerful preaching in itself, talking about Trinity. And so instead of focusing, putting the spotlight on the gifts, putting the spotlight on what kind of service teams you have, putting the spotlight on what kind of activity you have in church, Paul was saying to us, focus on God. Can you say focus on God? Focus on God. Because when we focus on God, when our priority is clear, decisions will be simpler. When He is our priority, decisions will be simpler. Now, my kid, my eldest, okay, our eldest, she loves to sing, and she became part of the school choir. And recently, they had a concert or, what do you call that again, baby? Recital, yes, they had a recital. So the choir performed, and also the orchestra. How many of you like music? I like music. And so in an orchestra, this is not their picture. I just grabbed this from the net. So in, because these guys are old, right? So that's not them, okay? But it's similar to that. And imagine a huge choir on one side. They were making such a beautiful melody. Beautiful song, moving, inspiring. Some people were crying because of the excellence of the worship. And you know the key? It's this guy, the conductor. He was the one holding that baton. And as long as everyone is looking at the conductor and following his pace, they are making good music. Every Nation Malaysia, the Lord wants to bring about powerful, life-giving, peace-giving, relationship-mending, family, you know, changing and life-altering work in this church. And He wants to use all of us. Are we willing to focus on Jesus? Not focus on Pastor Sean. Not focus on Pastor Stephen. Not focus on Pastor Teresa. But focus on Jesus only. Knowing that Jesus is the one who is actually leading this church. And leading the spiritual family. And leading all our different churches here. All the 9, 10 churches. And the many more that we will have. If Jesus is the center of a church. I want to stretch it even further. If Jesus is the center of your marriage. If Jesus is the center of your friendships, if Jesus is the center of your life groups, you will be singing melodies unto God. You will be singing melodies unto the Lord. And I'm excited. As I was praying for you this morning, I'm excited for the powerful music, the anthems that God will do in and through Every Nation Malaysia. As we keep God the center of it all. Amen? That is why as a church, we said this. As Every Nation, this is what we believe. We exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered. Not pastor-centered. Not people-centered. It's Christ-centered. Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. So what is it again? Focus on the centrality of God. Okay? Number two is appreciate our diversity. Appreciate our diversity. See, in that verse that we read earlier, Paul gave another analogy, not just of spiritual gifts, but he talked about a body. And he said that even as a body has many parts, it's still one body. It may have different functions. The eye is different from the ear. The foot is different from the hand. And so on and so forth. But it's just one body. Church, as a body of believers, as a spiritual family, we may be doing a lot of things, but we are still one. We are still one body. And we need to appreciate our differences. Aren't you glad the person seated right next to you does not look like you? We are so blessed that God has given this church so many gifts. Listen to this. And each gift is important. Each person, important. There is a mission that God has in store for us here in Every Nation Malaysia that will happen because of you. That's why we need you to live out the calling that you have in this church. Enjoy the fellowship and be involved, because the more we are involved, the more the church is built up and the more that God is known. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, again in that verse, verse 7, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the same Spirit, or the Spirit for the common good. I love it in the Message translation. This is what it says in the Message translation. Okay. It says, each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Whoa. Can you imagine that? We have the capacity to show people who God is. And if we would show our giftings, if we would be involved, that is a picture to the world of who God is. In a world wherein there's wars, in a world there's a lot of conflict, when they see people of different ethnic backgrounds worshiping God together, that is a picture of the power of God. When we forgive one another, when we serve each other, when instead of looking down on each other, we build each other up, that is showing this world who our God is. I told Pastor Sean, sorry, I'm going to be speaking a lot about food because you fed me a lot. So in this trip, gosh, wow. Pastor Sean brought me to this amazing toast place, okay? He served this kaya toast. And then he served me two kinds. One is roti toast and one is bread toast. It's a kaya toast, no? Love it, okay? Love the curry, love the sweetness. I even found there's a green version, okay? Of kaya. So it's so good. And then we ate also ayam and nasi, right? Nasi? Coconut boiled rice. Wow, coconut milk. Is that right? You cook it, nasi lemak, then you cook it in coconut. Oh gosh, wow, that's so good. Just thinking about it, okay? And then he fed us Chinese food, the best white rice or steamed, not white rice, the best steamed chicken rather, okay? That I've ever tasted, okay? And then after that, you know, last night, Pastor Neil brought us to this, is it chendol? Chendol. I didn't know jelly can be that's so good, okay? That pandan jelly, I thought it was worms initially, but it was green pandan jelly with the milk. And I didn't know that it can go well with durian, okay? Whoa. After that, he brought us to that satay place. And then last night, after all of those things, he even brought us to another place. And he made us taste some of the best. Lok-lok, yeah? He brought us to lok-lok. And I was seeing, wow, this is diversity, okay? We had fun choosing all of those sticks and then dumping them into those boiling tom yum soups and also the grill. And then this morning, I've tasted the best chicken feet of my life. All of those things showed me and my wife, Malaysia is beautiful. Your culture is delectable. It's delightful. There is beauty when we appreciate diversity. We appreciate those of us who have Indian descent. We appreciate those of us who are Malays. We appreciate those of us who are Chinese descent. Your cultures are beautiful. And when Christ becomes the center of your culture, you have something to impart to us that's like a diamond. Will showcase another feature of the love of God, the goodness of God, the power of God. And so let us appreciate diversity. Okay? Finally, is practice love daily. Practice love daily. Paul said in verse 12, the last part of it says, okay, do all of these things. Okay, focus on Jesus and then appreciate diversity rather. But he said there's a better way, a more excellent way of doing things. And he said this in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have and I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. It's all useless. Verse 4, he said, but love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Church, just meditate on that. Let those words shape how you love. Let those words shape how you submit to your spouse and how you love your spouse. Let those words change how you relate with our parents and with our children. Let those words shape how we relate with our friends. Let those words shape how we relate with our small groups or life groups. And even in this church, I love the Message translation. So let's read what it says about verse 4. Verse 4, it says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love does not want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut or is not proud. Love does not have a swelled head. Is it there? It doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Remember the eyes of individualism? This is the antidote to individualism. It's not always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. You had one. That's two. That's three. No, it doesn't keep a record of wrongs. It doesn't revel when others grovel. What does that mean? You do not rejoice when others are suffering. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. It puts up with anything. Trust God always. Always look for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going till the end. Once again, let love shape you. Let love define the way we serve. Let love define the way we appreciate each other. The Bible says, outdo one another in honoring. Let love drive that. Because when our heart is on God and our value is because God loves this person and we love this person, it has the power to transform marriages. It has the power to transform relationships. It has the power to transform even churches. Jesus himself said, this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. When we respect each other, when we serve one another, when we don't look down on others, instead we build them up. It is showing to the world that we are truly lovers of Jesus, that we're truly followers of Jesus. When, as a husband, you stay faithful to your spouse, even if you're having fights in court. How many of you know husbands and wives, they don't fight? No, right? They have animated discussions. But even if in those animated discussions you still love, you still remain faithful, we are showing this world a different kind of living, a different kind of showing, kind of life that honors God. Prayers that God will do that to us. How many of you know that's hard? It is hard, right? It's hard to love people. Church people are already so good. But even if it's a church, there are still people that we find sometimes it's challenging to love, right? Okay, some of you are nodding. Some of you are saying, Okay. No, nobody's doing that. How do we love? How do we respect? How can we give even if it's not being reciprocated? How can we forgive? How can we honor? How can we appreciate people despite the differences, despite the wide variety of preferences? Well, let me close by pointing us back to 1 Corinthians 11. Before Paul addressed this issue, he first talked about communion. And we all know what communion is, right? Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 11, "For what I received from the Lord, I pass on to you." That the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he said, in the same way also, after supper, he took the cup. And Jesus said, "This is my blood. Drink it as often as you drink it. Do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Communion points us back to the gospel. Communion reminds us that this life that we have, we don't even deserve it. We have this because of Jesus. The reason why your marriage is doing well right now is not because you're good. It's really because of the grace of Jesus in your life. The reason why now we have access to God, we can pray to God and hear God, it's not because we deserve God. No, we were enemies of God. But because of Jesus, from enemies, he made us friends. From sinners, he turned us into saints. From purposeless, now he has given us purpose. And you know, when we partake of the bread and drink the cup, we do that as often as we can here in church. How many of you know what happens? It becomes part of us. It sustains us. And it becomes part of our body. My prayer is that Jesus Christ will sustain you. That Jesus Christ will become part of every aspect of our being. That he will be part of how we lead our families. That he will be part of how we lead our homes. That he will be part of how we lead our business. That he will be part of your studies. That he will be part of your relationships. That you will be part, he will be part of how you usher people here in church. How you serve in the tech ministry. How you sing worship. If Jesus is part of us, we will have the power to beat individualism. Show this world, who our beautiful God is. Amen? Close your eyes with me as we pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are ministering right now. and you are moving. God, Lord, thank you for the grace. Right now, your grace is being showered upon your people. You love every single one. You love, Lord God, the person on their left, the person on their right, Lord. You love us. Even those with online, Lord, thank you that your love is being showered upon them right now. Holy God in heaven, we're grateful that you have the power to transform our hearts and transform our minds. And so we pray right now, do your work. We pray right now, we submit to your leading. We submit, Lord God, to your working in us. Change us, O God. Change our hearts. Change our minds, Lord. Help us to love others so that we can point people to you. In fact, Lord, I pray, if there is any offense right now, if there's any unforgiveness, in Jesus' name, would you please breathe grace into those hearts? Give us the grace to forgive. Some of us, we need to forgive a loved one. Some of us, we need to forgive somebody from church. Some of us, we need to forgive somebody, even in school. God, thank you that you are giving us the grace to be dispensers of your forgiveness. Not because these people deserve it, but because you've loved us and you also love them. God, thank you. Thank you. Lord, I also speak a blessing. Lord, to every life group leader here, every volunteer, may the Spirit of God, may the grace that comes from Jesus Christ, may the power of the Holy Spirit be upon them, Lord God, that as they serve and serve, Lord, wholeheartedly, as they serve, Lord God, faithfully and excellently, God, we will make you known even more. Thank you. Thank you that you will use our lives as reflectors of your grace, as reflectors of your mercy, as reflectors of your love, as reflectors of your kindness, as reflector of your, Lord, your long-suffering, your patience upon us, as reflector of your gentleness. God, thank you. Please do a deep work in us so that all of us will overflow with your love, a love that is patient and kind, that does not boast and not envy, a love that prevails and never ends. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.